That was wonderful. I'm just over there just rocking all to myself, just being all by myself, learning, just pretending I'm a musician and sing. Well, I've already pretended I'm tall, and if I can pretend I'm tall, I mean, really, I mean, if I can pretend I'm as tall as Kent, I've got an imagination, all right? Let's face it, I've got an imagination.
And it's good.
And it's not always good. No, it's not. Don't give me any encouragement like that. That's not good. That's not good. Not. So we have the passage that Gloria read to us. It's from Matthew. All right. It's the last public discourse that Jesus gives in the Gospel of Matthew before his crucifixion. This is the climatic point. He's been giving six parables and warnings about what's getting ready to happen. And Matthew makes this the climax. And it's not really a parable. We didn't have time for a Bible study today, but it's not really a parable. A parable starts with something that's familiar and then leads to something that may be otherworldly. You know, for example, a sower goes out to seed. Okay, well, people understand what that. A woman loses a coin. Oh, people understand what that. A man is beaten by robbers. Well, unfortunately, but this one is different. It's not a parable. This starts with other world. When the Son of Man returns with his angels, okay, there's nobody relating to that. You see how he does? He reverses it. He takes something that's heavenly and then brings it down so that it modulates to something earthly, so that what happens is that the climax of that warning is making sure ultimately what is important is your this worldly activity. Did you hear that? Goats to eternal punishment, sheep to righteous reward. Not a word about a confession of faith. Not a word about how many Bible studies you attended. Not a word about how many Bible verses you have memorized. No, none of that. None of that. Isn't that curious? But that's the way Matthew, of all the words that Jesus spoke, these are the ones that Matthew wants people to remember the most. That's the climax. That's the final point. That can be hard sometimes. It's difficult when we choose to make God or Jesus the cosmic cop. It's like that Santa song on steroids. Oh, you better watch out. You know how that song goes. He knows if you've been good or bad. Okay. Kind of know that. Matthew's like reinforcing this with the red ink and the underlining. He knows if you big T, but when we try to make God the cosmic cop, there always seems to be exceptions. You know, it's like those kids when they were going through the religious school and they have a lunch buffet and the teachers aren't too sure how this is going to work out because they got hot dogs out there and everything. And so they make up a big sign, one per student, remember, God is watching, you know. So they get their plate, they see the hot dog, they get the hot dog, and down at the end of the line, there's a plate of cookies. One of the students wrote a sign, take as many as you want, God's watching the hot dogs. We get confused sometimes about what we think is important. And we miss it. That's what Matthew's trying to remind us. That Jesus is trying to remind us. Sometimes we forget what's important. We don't mean to. It just happens. Rachel went into a professor's class, in his office, just in tears, beside herself. And he's asking her, what's wrong? She goes, I was walking through the courtyard, and my friend Debbie Thompson was just putting her phone away, and I'm going through the purse looking for some change. I want to get a soda, and I asked her, how's it going? And it turned out Deborah was putting her phone away. She had just gotten a call from her mom. The cancer was back. Much, much worse. And Deborah said, I might have to leave school to go home and take care of her. Rachel said, I went to the soda machine, got my soda, went by her again and said, so what's your plans for the weekend? She had not heard a thing. been mean too, but she missed it. Have you ever missed it? Have you ever missed it? I remember a man telling about a time he had an overnight guest at his house. All right, picked him up. He's coming in from work. All right, he grabs a newspaper, sits in his chair. The guest gets on the floor, starts playing with the children, teaches them a new game. And the man said, you know, I kind of was judged by that. I couldn't remember the last time I had come home from work, gotten on the floor, played with the children, and taught them a new game. That evening at dinner, after dinner, the man got up and started collecting the dishes. He says, I'll do the dishes. And the man's wife said, no, that's the kids' responsibility. They'll take care of the dishes. He says, well, let me just say that was one of the most wonderful meals I have ever had. That was just so tasty, so delicious. Thank you so very much. And the man said, I was desperately trying to remember what we had for dinner. I couldn't remember the last time I had offered to do the dishes or complimented my wife. Maybe the first week we were married. Later, the guest went out to walk around the neighborhood. He came back and he said, that is the nicest couple next door. Mr. and Mrs. Young from Seoul, Korea, they just are just so wonderful. And when he gave the first names, the man said, I was judged by, I had heard we had some new neighbors that moved in last year or 2 years ago. Nothing mean is intended, but we don't pay attention. And we miss it so many times. That's why Jesus gives us this warning. He's like, don't miss it. Remember that song came out about 10 years ago by Brandon Heath? Give me your eyes. Remember how that song goes? Remember that? That's a beautiful. I'm just going to do the chorus. I'm not going to sing, all right? I'm going to sing now. Are you mocking me over there? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones so far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. What a wonderful way to sum up the gospel about what Jesus is expecting from us, about ways that we can reach out to other people. I've shared with you before the story of Tony Campolo from Philadelphia going down Chestnut Street, remember? Going down Chestnut Street, and there coming towards him is a bum, all right? Dirty, soot covered, caked into his skin. But the thing that was most noticeable about him was his beard. Went all the way down to his waist, food left over from Noah's Ark. Tied up in there, just dirty, filthy. And the guy had a McDonald's coffee in his hand, just staring down at the cup, and Tony's passing him by. And all of a sudden, the man looks up and looks at Tony and says, hey, mister, you want some of my coffee? And Tony's looking at that cup, and it's got dirt smeared all over the lip of it. You know, he's like, no, not really, but he doesn't want to be rude. He says, okay. And he takes a sip and gives it back and says, thank you so very much. You're being awfully generous today. What's gotten into you? Why are you being so generous with your coffee? And the bum looked at him straight in the eye and said, well, it's like this. I think that the coffee is especially delicious today. And when God does something special for you, you should share it with other people. And Tony's thinking, this is going to cost me $5. I suppose you'd like me to do something for you, wouldn't you? And the guy says, yes, I would. And Tony's getting ready to reach for his wallet. He says, give me a hug. No. Really? Because I got $5. And he says, okay. And he goes and puts his arms around this bum. And the man grabbed Tony hard. and held on. And held on. And held on. Tony's dressed up in nice clothes. This bum's dirty. And he's hanging. People are looking at them. Tony is so embarrassed. He's wondering if this guy's ever going to let go. He said, later, I was convicted. I heard the words as if they were from Jesus. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was the bum on Chestnut Street, and you gave me a hug. The powerful opportunities that God gives us each and every day, if we will open our eyes to see them, allow ourselves to experience them, we can change not only a person's life, we can change the world. I remember hearing a professor talking about when he was at Vanderbilt University working on his PhD in Bible studies. Bible study. He knew Greek. He had the Greek New Testament memorized in Greek. I can't even give you two verses in English. He could do the whole, you say Galatians, he would just flip it over. He would just amazingly. And he's studying, you know, because there's a big thing you do, a dissertation or something. I don't know. There's some test you got to, I don't have a PhD. I don't know what you have to do, but it looks like that's why I don't have a PhD. Because it's way past my pay grade. I don't. But anyway, so he's studying for all of that. But what he had gotten is he would close, the library closed at midnight. He'd leave the library, go to the little diner, get himself a grilled cheese sandwich and coffee. That was his routine. He did it all the time. Every time. That's what he did. He says, I was in the diner, ordered my grilled cheese. They knew who I was. I'm sitting at the counter, pours my with the coffee, notices the cook filling up with everybody else's coffee, gives them their order, takes it, prepares it, gives it to him, fills up the coffee again and again. And he says, all of a sudden I was aware, vaguely, that when I had first come into the restaurant, that there was a man that was standing over in the corner. This is in the 1960s, early 1960s in Nashville, Tennessee. It was a black man in a white restaurant. Waiting, waiting, and waiting. Finally, the cook went over to take his order. He had ordered a hamburger. The chef did not make it fresh. He did not make it new. I don't know if you've ever worked as a short order cook, but sometimes you make a mistake. You just throw it in the back of the grill. You don't have time. The cook took a napkin, went back into that puddle of grease, grabbed that burger that had been cooking probably since 2 o'clock that afternoon and handed it to him, charging him full price. No bun, no garnish, nothing. The professor was walking out of the diner and there was that man sitting on the curb because he wasn't allowed to sit in the restaurant, getting salt and peppered by the trucks going up and down the highway. He says, it wasn't in tear until I was walking back to the campus and I went over a hill and I heard a cock crow. A cock crow. Do you remember in the Bible when Peter heard the cock crow after denying Jesus 3 times? Jesus gives us this warning not to judge us, not to condemn us, but to open our eyes to the possibility, to help us understand that responsibility that he's entrusted to us, to care for his children. Care for his children. The gospel message is easily summed up with these 3 phrases. Make a friend. Be a friend. Bring a friend to Christ. Amen.